Evelyn Waugh has been hailed as the greatest satirical writer of the 20th century. He died in 1966. Everyman's Library has just brought out an edition of the complete short stories of Evelyn Waugh, and book critic Maureen Corrigan says that this massive dose of Waugh has her wishing for more.
I haven't read Evelyn Waugh for years. A mistake, I admit. Waugh's take on human nature is so acid, so bracing, that his great comic novels like A Handful of Dust, Vile Bodies, Brideshead Revisited, and Love Among the Ruins should be read and reread every few years, just as a tonic for the intellect. I picked up the new Everyman's Library edition of Waugh's complete short stories because I thought his wit would provide just the right literary inoculation against the stammering and yammering of the recent presidential debates. I also thought it would be fun to lose myself in Waugh's world of the 1920s and 30s, a twilight of the British Empire place, awash in pink gin and populated by bright young things and dozing Colonel Mustards. What I'd forgotten about Waugh, and what the short stories vividly reminded me of, was his taste for the grotesque, even the grisly. He's not only the perfect writer to read for relief from political cant, he's also seasonably suitable for Halloween. His stories are filled with lunatics, severed limbs, crumbling ancestral mansions, the wicked and the damned, all rendered with Waugh's inimitable light touch. The Everyman's edition unearths 38 stories in all, lots of wonderful, long-out-of-print pieces, as well as some of Waugh's juvenilia and satirical cartoons. There are also two chapters here of an unfinished novel, which goes by the title Work Suspended, that Waugh began in the fateful month of September 1939. In a letter to Alexander Wolcott, dated summer 1942, Waugh explains why he abandoned the book. It is now clear to me that even if I were again to have the leisure and will to finish it, the work would be in vain, for the world in which and for which it was designed has ceased to exist. That novel fragment is almost as hard to read as Waugh's giggly juvenilia, but for a far different reason. It's so atmospheric, so rich with character and plot possibilities that you just wish Waugh, in this instance, had had less artistic integrity. The narrator, John Plant, is a detective fiction writer who's in Fez, Morocco, writing in a cheap hotel whose clientele consists of elderly couples of small means withering in the sun. Plant receives word that his father, an artist and a forger, has just died and left him the dismal family pile. So he returns to England, falls in love with a married woman, and that's about all Waugh wrote. Blast him. To get a sense of what was lost to the treasure house of satire when Waugh abandoned this novel, just listen to this bit of conversation between Plant and his publisher. Plant feels he's turning into a hack, and he's announced that he wants to try something new in his writing. "You've not been writing any poetry in Morocco," says the publisher. "No, no. Sooner or later, almost all my novelists come into me and say they've written poetry. I can't think why. It does them infinite harm. Only last week, Roger Simons was here with a kind of a play. You never saw such a thing. All the characters were parts of a motor car, magneto and sparking plugs and camshaft, all talking in verse about communism." Alas, we can assume there would have been plenty of O. Henry-ish plot twists in the novel because Waugh loved that kind of thing. Many of the best short stories here end with wallops, whose effect I won't ruin by revealing. Instead, there's plenty else to enthuse about in Waugh's writing. His language is like some smoothed, aged whiskey laced with delayed reaction poison. It takes a few seconds before you feel its lethal intent. The short story Incident in Azania, for instance, takes place in colonial Africa and features an eligible young woman named Prunella Brooks, whom Waugh slyly describes as an iridescent blonde with a fresh skin, with rubbery, puppyish limbs, and a face which lit up with amusement at the most barren pleasantries. The Man Who Loved Dickens is a short story that Waugh wrote in 1933 that became the germ of his masterpiece, A Handful of Dust. Reading this earlier incarnation of that novel's famous ending, it seemed to me the most awful aspect of Paul Henty's fate is certainly not that he's forced to read Dickens aloud for the rest of his life, or even that he's being held captive in the jungle. No, it's that Henty is doomed to reading Dickens aloud to a menacing audience of one, Mr. McMaster, who doesn't really get Dickens. Waugh notes how McMaster often asks the wrong questions and laughs at the wrong passages. Surely this is the writer's nightmare, that the reader just won't understand the story. It's a nightmare that Waugh, as so many of these brilliantly absurd, eccentric, and touching stories confirmed, worked very hard to exorcise.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University. She reviewed the complete short stories of Evelyn Waugh.